Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 132 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her vagina. Yeah, you heard me right. Before we start this episode, please know it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, run on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate and review this podcast because I so welcome your thoughts. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life.
It's all about her.
Inside your vagina, what's going on? How to stay healthy? Oh, this is a wild and crazy topic, isn't it? Dr. Mary Jane Minkin is our expert. She's a clinical professor in the Department of Obstetrics, Gynecology, and Reproductive Sciences at the Yale University School of Medicine and has been in private practice in New Haven for more than 35 years. That's code for listen to her. She knows what the hell she's talking about. And she's got a bio that's so long, I don't even know where to begin. Just trust me when I tell you, this is going to be one heck of a fabulous podcast. Dr. Minkin, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Pam, thank you so much for asking me to be with you. And, you know, this 35 years just means I'm old. That's all. You know,
just means you started when you were 20. Whoopsies. All right. Now, what is this whole thing with vaginal health? I think it's just such an incredibly important, you know, topic because a lot of times, well, you know, I think it's a generational thing too. A lot of women of a certain age never really talked about it too much. And now millennials are sticking their little heads up there all the time, asking questions, wanting answers. So what really constitutes good vaginal health?
An excellent question. And the vagina is a very ever-changing object. I mean, it's basically, there's a lot of dynamism there. There are things happening, changing over the course of our lives. And, of course, over the course of a menstrual cycle, too. So it's a place where changes occur all the time. And a couple of things that some people are grossed out by, and I don't mean to gross out any of our listeners there, but for one thing, we have tons and tons of bacteria in our vaginas. Okay. We also have things like yeast and stuff like that. And many of my patients, when they develop a problem with an infection, for example, in the vagina, are very concerned that I might be impugning their hygiene or something like that as far as how they got it. And the answer is you can have the most fabulous hygiene in the world and still have a vaginal infection. It happens to all of us. So it's a very, very common thing. And one of my statements that I regularly gross out my patients with, and I relate to my medical students regularly, is when my patients are concerned about this, I just look at them and I say, listen, I said, your doctor has tons of bacteria in her vagina, too. I mean, this is called normal.
I love it.
But it's true. It's true. So the key thing is, and there are good guy bacteria and bad guy bacteria. And they're, you know, yeast are somewhat annoying. I don't know if there are any good guy yeast particularly. But there are a lot of bacteria that are good to have in the vagina. And the other concept that sort of goes along with that is that most people think of acid as bad. You know, acid's a bad thing. Well, like, you know, when we think about GERD and, you know, acid in the stomach and stuff like that, yeah, acid up there is not a great thing. But in the vagina, acid is good, okay? So it's good, actually, in the vagina to have a fairly low pH, okay? Low pH is acidic. Higher pHs are more basic. And actually, you want your vagina to be acidic. And I know that sounds sort of crazy, but you do. And so that's one of the concepts that we have to get across to our women, that it's good to have good guy bacteria in our vagina. They're good. And, or good gal bacteria, they're not sex. But anyway, and it's also good because the good guy bacteria tend to keep the environment acidic. And that's what we want. Okay. So it's a lot of simple stuff is just pH. And it's a lot of simple stuff is some simple bacteriology. And the good guy bacteria of the vagina are what we call lactobacilli. And of course, many of us know those as the kind of bacteria that we refer to as probiotics. Now there are certain strains that are more common in the vagina than in other parts of the body, but there are good guys that we want to have there. So that's sort of an overview of, you know, the kind of things that we're dealing with as far as good vaginal health. Now, of course, there are other bacteria and other viruses and stuff, which are brought to us, which are not part of our home team, our good guy bacteria. And some, of course, sexually transmitted infections, transmitted sexually, can sort of disturb the ecosystem in our vaginas. And that's not a good thing either. And the other thing to remember, and I hope this isn't getting too tricky for folks, is that there are certain constellations of bacteria in the vagina, so-called bacterial vaginosis, which unfortunately can make it more inviting for some of the STDs to hang around and to spread. So if one has an array of nastier bacteria, so-called people who end up with bacterial vaginosis, if they are infected by something like chlamydia or gonorrhea by a not-so-favorable intervention there, that can actually encourage the spread of it. So all these interplays are going on. So it's sort of, at least to me, it's very interesting.
Well, you brought up the word probiotic. So immediately I happen to know that my wonderful Herb podcast listeners are saying, probiotic? Ooh, I know what that is. Activia and, you know, all of that. Should a woman on a routine basis be taking probiotics? And if so, what?
Well, I think that those things like, you know, Activia and stuff like that are helpful. Unfortunately, there is not all probiotics are the same. That's part of the problem. Not all strains of lactobacilli are the same. So, you know, I don't know that the good guy probiotics in a lot of different yogurts and stuff like that will really help all that much in the vagina. Well, there is some limited data to suggest that people actually using yogurt in the vagina, which is a practice some people do, claim it's helpful. Not a ton of data on that. One product that is out there is a product called Pro-B, which tends to have the strains of the lactobacilli that are good in the vagina. So Pro-B is pretty good. As far as the other stuff can't hurt you, I don't know if it's as helpful because it doesn't have the same strains that are the quote-unquote good guys of the vagina.
Now, I've got a quick question for you then. I got a million questions, actually. We could do like about an 8-hour podcast here because this is such a fascinating topic. So does the bacterial population change as a woman goes through perimenopause and postmenopause?
Excellent question, Pam, of course. And indeed, it does. Okay, and again, I'm going to apologize to get into some strange physiology for our listeners, but I'll try to make it clear that when the vagina gets drier as we get older, as our estrogen levels go down with perimenopause and then full menopause, that the cells that line the vagina tend to lose a substance called glycogen. Okay. When the cells are premenopausal and plumper, they've got a lot of glycogen. And what's glycogen good for? Lactobacilli love glycogen. It's like M&Ms for the lactobacilli. And when the vagina is drier, okay, has less glycogen, the good guy lactobacilli aren't as prevalent, and you can end up with an overgrowth of some of those nastier bacteria, some of the nastier E. coli and Proteus and stuff like that, and setting up a more hostile environment. So indeed, one thing that can be very helpful to a woman going through perimenopause, a menopausal lady, is to actually moisturize her vagina. Okay, and there are certainly medical ways that women can do that. I mean, there are plenty of vaginal estrogen products that can be used to help moisturize things. However, if somebody's, you know, wants to try something over the counter, there are some moisturizing products, again, readily available. Again, something like Replenz is an over-the-counter moisturizer that will help, you know, moisturize the tissue and may make it a more favorable environment. Also, as an adjunct to that, one can actually use a pH balancer to sort of make the environment more acidic and make it more hostile to the nastier guys.
Now, what is a pH balancer?
Well, something like, basically a product like something like Refresh, which has pH in the name. It's R-E-P-H-R-E-S-H. Actually, it's over, again, these are products that are over-the-counter. You can get them at, you know, CVS, Walgreens, whatever. And it's a gel that you pop in the vagina 2-3 times a week, something like that, and will actually acidify the vagina and make it more hostile for some of the nastier organisms that we really don't want down there. So
how will a woman know if she needs to use this?
Depending on how comfortable she is. If she's feeling dry, okay, she certainly may well want to use a moisturizer, okay? And if she's feeling like she's got some irritation, okay, or she's got an odor classically, or she's got some irritation, she may want to try one of the pH products to try to lower her pH a little bit and kill the bad guys in a more natural manner there.
Yeah, okay, fine. So then if a woman is on some form of hormonal replacement mm-hmm. therapy, especially obviously in including estrogen, is this going to help maintain her bacterial flora so that it's more normal?
The answer is yes. Okay. And that's a good reason for doing so. And indeed, a lot of women will talk to me about, you know, I talk about dry vaginas every day. That's what I do.
Yep.
And somebody may, you know, I'll ask them, I'll comment, you know, I'll ask a question. I'll say, well, you know, how's your vagina feeling? You know, I don't think it's that normal to walk into a room and say to somebody, well, I wouldn't ask this to a guy, but a lady, hey, how's your vagina doing? And, you know, if she says to me, well, you know, I'm not having sex. I'm not sexually active. Well, that's a separate issue. But people can have issues from a dry vagina, which are totally unrelated to sex, okay? And that women can end up with, you know, an irritation and infection related to the vagina being dry without being sexually active.
I see. Okay, excellent. So it's just really important to understand that vaginal health changes over time mm-hmm. Because we age, and what's happening in our vagina and our hormonal status, it's all intertwined. So we have to kind of, you know, pace with it and really stay mindful of these changes, which is really important. And again, with the probiotic piece, reiterate, say one more time, when do we know we need to take this?
Well, I think if somebody's having a problem, if somebody's totally fine and she's totally comfortable having no issues, well, I don't think she has stuff to worry about there per se. But if somebody, and again, the complaints I hear about are odors. Regularly, I hear complaints about odors related to, again, indirectly the changes in the dryness and then the pH of the tissue. I think people will complain about odors. They will complain about irritations and discomforts. And if she's dealing with that, you know, she may well want to say, well, let me give a little moisturization to the vagina if it's feeling dry. And she may want to try something like, you know, refresh as a pH balancer to see if that will help. Now, obviously, if these problems don't go away, you know, with a little bit of intervention on your own, well, then do see your provider. Or, you know, see your nurse practitioner, your midwife, your gynecologist, whatever, to help get things organized. And we can take a look. We can do cultures if necessary. We can come up with some medical managements as well.
All right. So a woman, you know, right now we're listening, and two big things have popped up. One is the bacterial flora inside a woman's vagina, which is, you know, it's got the go team on it, you know, some of those bacteria that we love so much that are very helpful and beneficial. And then there are some, you know, funky bacteria that will happen as well. So that was the first thing. And the other one was pH, which is really important, because the more acid, the less friendly the environment is for sexually transmitted diseases, et cetera.
Correct.
So now let's flip now. We now have women who may be out there in the Herb podcast land dating and maybe having sexual relations with a new person or more than one person.
Sure.
What's that doing to the bacterial flora and the pH?
Well, the answer is not a heck of a lot, except, okay? And here's the thing. When I say except, I'm hoping that all of our listeners, or if they're in a non-mutually monogamous situation, are using condoms, okay? And, for example, when I give a lecture to the undergraduates at Yale, which I do occasionally, I will say, you know, I say the word condom about every 5 seconds. You know? If I said the word condom in the last 5 seconds, then I strongly encourage condom use, because even if we're, you know, if somebody's had a tubal ligation or she's got an IUD or something like that, she's got really good contraception on board, if she's dealing with new partners particularly, you always have to protect against sexually transmitted infections. So if somebody's using a condom, it's not going to be too much of an issue. Somebody who's not using a condom, I'm always worried about STIs. And the other thing that I'm worried about, of course, not worried, but per se, that actually for some women, when they are dealing with sexual activity and dealing with, you know, an ejaculate, that, of course, is a little more basic than the typical vaginal acidic pH. So some women will actually have some issues related to the basic nature of seminal fluid, and they may do well with a little more acidification down there.
All right. So, you know, clearly the issue of sexually transmitted infections and disease is right there front and center. No
Absolutely.
Question about that. Does the use of the birth control pill do anything to the vaginal bacterial flora or pH?
You know, not a heck of a lot. And indeed, one way, of course, that the birth control pills do help. Now, I don't want people relying on this, okay, as far as preventing STDs, is that if something nasty is happening in the vagina, that the birth control pills contain synthetic progesterone. It's called progestin. And that tends to make cervical mucus hostile to sperm coming through. It may also make it more hostile to bacteria climbing up inside. Now, that doesn't protect the vagina, but it may help a little bit of ascending infections going up. Now, again, never relying on that as far as protection. You always want to be using a condom if you're in a situation with, you know, a partner in a relationship that's not mutually monogamous. But sometimes, actually, the birth control pills may help protect against ascending infections from cervical mucus changes.
Okay. And then what happens, you know, during a woman's menstrual flow when she's on her menstrual cycle and she's now going through her bleeding phase? What is
going on
with the bacterial flora there? Anything change there? Because obviously we know we're now on a nice little hormonal roller coaster.
Sure. And you're absolutely right, Pam, and there are significant changes and a couple of things that are going on. Number one, of course, blood is more basic. I mean, the pH of blood is a little on the basic side, 7.4, somewhere in that range, 7.3, compared to what we want to have is a nice bacterial, you know, a pH of like 4.5 or less. So indeed, so you end up with a little more basic environment in the vagina, which may make things a little, you know, dicier for getting an infection. The other thing that can happen, and this is important for the STI stuff, is that when you're on your period, you're losing this protection from the progestins that are there. The progesterone is going down, or progestins are going down if you're on the pill. And so the barrier to some of those nasty gonorrhea or chlamydia is climbing up inside may be gone. So the spread of infection can be more of a problem during the menstrual flow.
Ah, so it's important for women to really stay on top of that then.
Exactly.
That's good.
Exactly.
That's excellent. Fantastic. What else in terms of vaginal health and hygiene? Oh, I know. I'm raising my hand. I know.
Yes.
So what about all of those delightful little products out there that say they're going to detox your vagina?
How did I guess you're
You know, I lowered my voice. You know where I'm going with this.
I know that. So anyway, so basically what's happening, yes, there are all these crazy things about detoxifications. And the first thing that I'd like to mention is that anything that's supposed to give you a pleasant aroma emanating from the vagina and stuff like that with a perfume or something like that, please try to avoid it, because the most sensitive tissue in the body is the vaginal vulvar tissue. I mean, it's really very sensitive. And, you know, anything that's going to give you, you know, perfumes and stuff like that, you don't want that to that area, because it can be highly irritating. And I'll tell you, we're right in the middle of big time vulvar irritation and vaginal irritation season, because so many women get bubble baths and stuff for Christmas as presents. And what we see all the time is, yeah, people dunk in these, you know, whatever concoctions they have into the bath and stuff like that, or sprays to the area. And the tissue, you know, it's just you're dealing with very delicate tissue being exposed to terrible allergens. So the less smelly stuff you can put down there, the better. I mean, that's number one, because just the tissue is so delicate. So I think that's the number one important thing. Then, of course, you come up with some of these crazy ideas. I won't mention any names per se, but I know there are some advocates out there of steaming the vagina to kill germs. And when I heard that the first time, you know that. I mean, they're out there doing it. And I'm like, what? What are they doing? And first of all, the vagina is sort of like, you know, those self-cleaning ovens. I mean, most of the time, they're pretty much self-cleaning. You don't need to do too much, strange things going on. But you certainly don't need to steam the vagina, which the only thing I can think of it could do is burn things. Again, this is the most delicate tissue in the body. I don't want to go burning that tissue. It's dangerous. So, you know, you don't need to clean it, and please don't put steam in there.
Leave it the heck alone. It's like, colonics and all of that. It's like, first of all, you are insulting the human body. Exactly. The human body is perfectly capable of cleaning itself.
Yep.
It can do this, I swear.
Yep.
It's been doing this for, a long, long time without putting things in it and baking your vagina and perfuming the thing. I mean, please. And then, of course, remember that big mess with talcum powder down there?
Yeah. I mean, you don't need much of this stuff there. It's just you don't need to do some crazy things,
And, I think that it's important also to realize that the vaginal, bacterial population, all the rest of it, if it's as healthy as possible, this will also help when a baby is delivered, the routine vaginal route instead of a C-section, because the baby will be coated with the bacteria of the vagina, and if it's good, healthy, wonderful, go team bacteria, then that will help the baby's immune system.
Yep.
You're the OBGYN. You tell us.
I think that I could not have said it more lovely manner there, Pamela. So indeed, yeah. I mean, that basically it is good. And now there have been some experiments that people have been doing. I know this may sound crazy to some of our listeners, that actually, if a baby is born by a cesarean section, actually taking some swabs of the mother's vaginal bacteria and sort of inoculating the baby, coating the baby with some of this vaginal bacteria, it hasn't really shown to be terribly helpful from a theoretical perspective. It sounds like, gee, not a bad idea, but the data in some scientific studies hasn't really shown that it's terribly helpful. But most people feel that exposure to the mom's good vaginal flora is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've read those same experiments, and I think that they made all the sense in the world. Maybe they just didn't use enough of the bacterial. Maybe the baby wasn't exposed deeply enough, when it was born C-section. But it's just, I want everyone out there in the Her podcast land to really embrace the theme that your vagina and its health, as it were, should be optimized. You need to be mindful of this. Don't blow it off if you're starting to have issues. Really get some help. Ask, some guidance, anything, if it looks as though something's awry. Because vaginal health and hygiene per se is so terribly important. I just cannot emphasize it enough. And, Dr. Minkin has been exquisitely articulate in really defining what is important here. And those elements include the pH, maintaining the healthiest bacterial population, which is very important, and just always trying to protect yourself as well from bacterial invasion, certainly from sexually transmitted infections. And I'm sure Dr. Minkin and I sound like broken records when we say, please protect, mucho's important. And that really, at the same time, our vaginal health, right, changes as we age, and we have to stay on top of that as well. I swear, maintenance itself, Dr. Minkin, it's just enough to make you want to throw up your arms. It's a lot of work, staying on top of all of our body parts.
It's valuable. And one other thing that I'm going to encourage our listeners that in the sort of shameless self-promotion category, I will tell folks if they want to go to my website, they can read and hear some more about this also. And my exciting
So the website is
MadamOvary.com.
Okay. Now I'm sorry, but I just love that. That's Madam. That's MADAME.
Yep.
Ovary.com, madamovary.com, mm-hmm. to learn more about Dr. Mary Jane Minkin's marvelous work on all things, well, the woman's body. I mean, come on, she's an OBGYN after all, you know, there it is. Dr. Minkin, I want to personally thank you so much for being on this episode of Her.
Well, Dr. Pamela Peek, it is a pleasure to be with you as always.
Oh, boy, this has been such a great podcast. So remember, for everyone out there, catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page. And right now, run on over to iTunes and give us a nice rate and review. I want to hear from you, for crying out loud. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening. And stay well.